Welcome to Sounds and Stories, the podcast from the Reflections Network, where we shine a light on grassroots and local talent. I'm Chelsea, and in each episode, we'll dive deep into journeys of incredible creatives who make our communities come alive. For our very first episode, I'm chatting with Jono, a very talented young house DJ making waves locally here in Northamptonshire. We'll hear about his journey so far, his inspiration, and what keeps him motivated, plus what he's got planned for the future. Quick note, we are learning as we go. The quality will only get better with time, so thanks for sticking with us as we grow. Let's get into it. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being part of this.
Long time coming.
Long time coming indeed.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will be the one. I want to go right back to the beginning, start off with.
Yeah.
So what were your musical influences growing up? What were you listening to? What were your parents listening to? What has influenced you?
Well, I sort of grew up like... A lot of people say that they had like a musical background, but I didn't really have like so much of a musical background. Like my mum and dad aren't really like musical, like my grandparents are musical. But I always grew up around music, so like there was a lot of Michael Jackson, a lot of the time stuff when I was growing up. I was born in 2004, so like you can imagine what sort of stuff was going on in the house when I was growing up, like that sort of time.
My era, epic.
Well, yeah, that's it. It's some crazy tunes from like that time.
I think my favourite, which sticks in my head from that era, is Blue Cantrell.
Yeah.
And Sean, is it Sean Paul?
Sean Paul.
Yeah.
Breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Tune. A track. It's a serious track. That was my alarm for a good year or so in the morning.
I still remember the video because the lips were never synced. So what was the moment you got into house music?
To be fair, it wasn't until a good couple of years ago. Because originally I was into drum and bass from sort of secondary school age all the way through secondary school. I was always set on like drum and bass because my brother, he loves it. Like all the time in the house, my brother blasting drum and bass. But to be fair, at the time I loved it as well. I still do like it. But I grew up with drum and bass. I loved it. And I started going to raves when I was like 16, 17.
Good age.
Yeah, well...
Start
of you. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I started going to the raves, and then I went to a house rave one time, and it was just different. Like, I loved the drum and bass raves, but it was sort of more intense. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of drum and bass events, a lot of people go for the wrong reasons. Like, they go not really for the music, mm-hmm. but for, like, other stuff that, like...
Yeah.
...comes in hand to that. But like when I first started going to house raves as well, it was one of them where it just felt different, and like I felt a bit more connected to the music. Like you can tell when someone's really in the zone, in the mix. Yeah, I feel like I connect with the music a bit more than drum and bass.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. I was a big drum and bass fan, and I still am. I'm the same as you. Like I still appreciate and love drum and bass, but the switch over into house has been similar for me.
Oh, it's just different gravy. I mean, like, I don't know. It was one of them where like it just felt right in the dance.
Yeah.
Like the first rave I ever went to, I went to Printworks.
Nice.
It was open to Royal Rumble, Kings of the Rollers. So like you can imagine that was a pretty like eye-opening experience itself. But then like I carried on going to these drum and bass raves, and then I think the first house rave that I ever went to was actually a Dance Till Dawn event in Kettering at the Loft.
Oh, amazing.
And I think it was Mason Collective that was headlining.
Yeah, I think that was their first ever one, I think.
I think it was, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know Reese at that point anyway. So I was there as a punter and I loved it. Like, it was just like, wow, what is this? Who are these guys? Who are these three blokes? Just like...
Vibing.
Literally, that's all they do, is just vibe. And it looks brilliant as well. Like, the loft was such a good space.
It really was.
Yeah, sort of, it's all... You just fell from there.
So other than that experience, which is amazing, and I'm so glad that it was a local experience that brought that in for you, who else, like, since has been, like, a house music artist that's inspired you? And
well, it just changes so many times, like... Throughout the years, like, I've been to so many different raves, and then you realise how many different sounds there actually are.
Yeah.
Like, you go to different events, you go to, like, an EastEnders event, and then it's just pretty garagey, mm-hmm. going into, like, a bit darker vibes. Mm-hmm. And then you go to like a music on event in Ibiza, and then it's just drummy, really like what Ibiza's all about at Balearic, the minute, really. Yeah, yeah. Just the Balearic sort of housey vibes. But it just changes too much. But at the minute, I'm loving the Luke Dean, Next Up Crew, Lockie. I'm really into my breakbeats at the minute, but like not swaying from house. I'm really into the Mason Collective boys at the minute as well. Like, it's a bit of a switch over from like the more garagey vibes, mm-hmm. but like the drums and the bass in the Mason Collective production is just like, it's just different. It's brilliant.
So, at what point did you decide to jump on the decks yourself?
It was actually like, I was actually really young. Like, there's photos of me DJing at a wedding when I was like, I didn't even know, like 10. 9 years old.
Amazing.
Like, it's always been an interest of mine, and I've always sort of like connected with the music. Started at a young age, but like it wasn't really until I got to like the end of my school years where I really started to like realise like, oh, this is an actual like talent, it's mm-hmm. a skill.
It really is, you know, a skill.
It's one of them where I got a pair of decks when I was, I don't even know, 14 or 15.
Yeah.
Just like mess about on. And then I started mixing here and there. And then I started listening to these mixes and these sets that were played live. And I was like, oh, I'm really listening hard, like, on how to, like, not recreate it, but, like, how to do it and then put my own sort of, like, twist on it. I've been doing it for a good few years now. I'm pretty confident in my mixing at the minute. It's one of them where, like, you go from DJing on these controllers on a laptop to then the ones with the USBs and then
yeah.
the CDJs where there's two screens and then no screen on the mixer. And the yeah, it's one of them where like you've just got to dial it in on the kit that you've got
yeah.
in front of you.
I mean, it always really impresses me. I mean, I watched your set at the Dance Till Dawn Ibiza closing party.
Yeah.
And you went back to back with Cows, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was back, yeah, me and
Cows. And that set was insane. Like, yeah. It was so much fun.
You enjoyed it.
I did. And you guys absolutely smashed it.
Thank you.
It's still, I mean, it still amazes me to this day. Like, it really is a talent. And I've had a very, very small go at DJing.
Yeah.
But I actually did some, like, tried to show me. And I am shit. Like, I cannot. But it really is a skill. And like you said, I mean, I spoke to a few of the DJs that day and the different types of kit that you all use. And then you're having to, you turn up at an event and you're given something brand new to play on and you have to pivot and you have to figure it out. And I think it's amazing. And you guys smashed that set. So I'm excited.
I loved that one, to be fair. Like in the boozer, like it was a really good crowd. Like the room was full.
It was a good crowd.
I really enjoyed that one. It was a sick set.
And I know a few people. I mean, I remember speaking to Jupex and like me, him, and Reese were stood there. And we were like, these lads are good. Yeah. They're gonna go places, man. Like it was noticed.
With the new kids on the block.
You're gonna go places. Yeah. So good. So do you remember, aside from the wedding vibes, do you remember your first proper set as a DJ?
My first set was for Dance to Dawn in the loft.
Yeah.
So what a gaff! What an institution.
Also, what a full circle moment to be inspired by that and then play.
Exactly. So I was back to back with Callum actually. Me and him go back to back quite a bit. I don't know whether it's because like these promoters see that like we're mates for a similar age and then like they've listened to our sets before and like they've seen us and like we do put on a good show.
Mm.
In fairness. But yeah, it was Dance Till Dawn in the loft and me and Callum were opening for an hour and all of my mates came, all of Callum's mates came, and it was just like, it was a really fun time. And like, it was at that point then where I first played out to people, like properly on a club, because obviously I played at house parties and stuff before.
Yeah.
But like when I first properly played on like proper club decks,
yeah.
proper system, like with a room full of people, like that was it. I was hooked. It was one of those moments where I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do, 100%.
And what was that feeling like looking out of that room?
You just can't explain it. It's one of them, like people say rock star, but like genuinely, you do feel on top of the world.
Yeah.
Like you could genuinely be like at Wembley, facing a full like stadium of people. It's the same feeling.
Mate, you're gonna be there one day.
Hopefully, sell out tour.
Have you, just out of interest, have you ever had anything fuck up or any problems you've had And what have they been, and how have you like overcome them?
To be fair, I've sort of like, it's one of them where I like to say that it's not luck, but it is. I haven't really had a bad run in with like dodgy decks, like a bad system, all of that.
Touch wood.
So, yeah, well, touch wood. But yeah, I know I've had it once or twice where like my headphones are broken or something. Mm-hmm. But that's as far as it goes. Like I've had a pretty lucky streak so far.
That's good.
Where I've been pretty successful in my mixing. And yeah, it's one of them.
It's good.
Just got to keep my fingers crossed that it doesn't happen again.
So I want to ask you, I mean, you've already kind of mentioned this quite a bit, but like, how much has Ketrin played in your journey so far? Like, I mean, you've obviously mentioned the loft and stuff, but how important is it, these local places, for young DJs?
Ketrin, well, for me, Ketrin is just like, it's home. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm from Ketrin, I've lived there my whole life. To be honest, it's pretty sad seeing like what it was, like even before I was going out, yeah, sort of age. Like, what people tell me it was like even before I was going out. Like, it used to be amazing.
Yeah.
And then when I started going out, it was still good. But, like, you noticed that things had died down a little bit. And now, like, you go out on a Saturday night and it's just, like, there's people in spoons and that's about it. Yeah. Unless there's an event on, like, Dance Till Dawn or Selector.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just to name two.
I was talking to Ryan from Selector the day and I remembered in 2010... I saw Chase the Status play in Rehab.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, I think they came back to the loft at another time, but this was 2010 in Rehab, and I remember that place being packed out, and that was what we had as a super club. Rehab. Well, yeah. Rehab was huge, and it had three rooms, and it used to be packed, and it's just insane now. Like, you'd normally start at Henry's and then go, like, Remy's, like, Loft or Abacus.
Yeah, it used to be a whole regime of things.
Down to Coliseum, then Aqua, then what, to Aqua, Barson. And then, down to rehab. Like, it was a whole, like, journey. Like,
yeah.
And you'd be out till 4 a.m.
That's it.
Easy.
And it used to be easy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I used to remember going out and there used to be, like... This was when the price of things started to go up. So, like, you know, like, you're an age where not many of you are working. And if some of you are, you're not really on too much of a good wage. So, like, you used to have prees around your mate's house, and then you used to go spoons to get to a level.
Yeah.
And then you used to, like, go out from there. It used to be about 12 o'clock when it used to, like, actually start.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Bar 7, Decades, you know, Aura, The Loft, obviously Abacus, which used to be, obviously, O'Malley's downstairs. Yeah. And now it's sad to see it also bare on a Saturday night when it should be, like, it should just be buzzing.
Yeah, and I think there's so much, like, there's so much talent, and I think Friday Just Gone proves that, like, Select obviously had their event, and Dance Till Dawn had their event, and there was stuff going on the Kino, there was stuff going on the Stitching Pony as well.
Literally.
And there was people out.
It really, really, really was a breath of fresh air to see that many people out in Ketrin.
And everywhere, like, was full. Like,
everywhere was full. Like, I even seen people queuing in to get to Dance Till Dawn and Selector.
Yeah.
I know everywhere Selector goes, like, hats off to them.
Yeah, man, that's
so good.
They
have a queue out the door. But in Ketrin, it's a really, like, it's an achievement, definitely.
Yeah, and I think it's proven that there's appetite for it.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's just got to keep going.
People have just got to realise that, like, if you build it, they will come.
Exactly. So, other than Dance Till Dawn, which other promoters and stuff? I mean, I know you obviously work with Reverb. Like, talk to me about that partnership and how that came about.
Oh my god, Reverb. Reverb. What can I say about Reverb? It's
big love to Reverb.
It's just unreal working with the boys. Like, to be a part of that event, it's mad.
I had, like, the pleasure of coming to the Halloween event and it went off. Like, it was so much fun.
It was madness. It was mad. Even being there myself, like, even before my set, like, from all the planning and stuff that goes into it, and then all of the build-up, promo, all the posts, and, like, all the talk about it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, even when Watchers came on, like, the support headliner, so to speak... That was a crazy feeling, seeing that many people, like, having a good time at, like, an event that you've got an involvement with.
Yeah.
And then when Gaskin came on, oh my god, that roar.
It was insane.
It was mad. To have that kind of thing, like, in the area, within kind of, like, 5 or 10 miles, What an achievement. Yeah. Even if I do say so myself, like...
No, take it. Like,
it's one of those where, like, the hard work's paid off.
Yeah, 100%. And I spoke to Styx that night, who's also part of Reverb, and obviously you know that, but just for people listening...
Styx is the boss.
Yeah. speaking to him and, like, bringing this to our area and also giving the chance for people like you to play on the bill with these people, it's just so awesome.
That's what it's all about. It's I think for all of us, really, especially Styx, it's one of them where it's just like, I wouldn't say giving back, but like just giving out to the people, like the DJs in the area or the punters that have nowhere to go locally on a Saturday night. That's what it's all about, and bringing the headliners that we're bringing. Obviously, it's out by now, the Dambi is booked in for the 6th of March, I think it is.
7th.
7th I'm of sure March. It's 7th. And then that's in Bar 7 in Ketchin, so we're moving away from the way station in Thrapston.
Yeah.
And then we're having a party for Styx's birthday in April, I'm pretty sure it is. And we've already got two massive headliners booked in for that. So, yeah, it's one of them as well, like, again... If you build it, they'll come.
Yeah.
Like, it's the proof's in the pudding. We were at capacity.
Yeah.
At the Halloween party. So it just goes to show, like, if you put it on.
Yeah.
And, like, you make the effort and you do it, people are hungry for it. There is a market for it, definitely.
There is. I mean, I was there when you guys were still setting up, and I think I remember Dean being like, we've sold even more. Like, yeah, it was exactly. Just like, they just That's kept flying out, which is so good.
Well, in the first hour... No, even in the first half an hour of announcing Gaskin on our Instagram, we sold out, like, I don't know how many tickets it was exactly, but we sold out all of the early bird tickets.
Yeah.
And, like, the parties that we'd done before, it took at least, like, a couple of days or a week
to
sell out early bird. For it to happen in that, like, short space of time, it was a crazy feeling. And we were putting it in the chat, like, every time another 5 or 10 tickets sold.
Yeah.
It was, like, every 5 minutes, another 5 tickets sold. And we were like, what is going on? Like, this is crazy. What are we doing here?
I think it's really... I mean, I love that you've just said that. I mean, obviously, me and Reese with the same Dance to Dawn and other events I've put on. My first ever event I did was last Halloween. I did one over the road here, which was, again, just local DJs. And that feeling, like, I wish... I'm glad we're talking about it, because to explain to punters, like, how much it means to us.
You don't really see it, to be honest. Like, you put all the thank yous and stuff on your Instagram stories and your posts and stuff, but, like, you can't really, like, put it into typed words.
No.
What kind of feeling it is to see, like, people are actually digging what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, every time a ticket sells, we are in WhatsApp groups being like, bro, like, more have gone. Yeah, and it's so exciting.
It is good. It is a good feeling. And it's good for the area as well, you know, like, seeing the amount of people that are at Reverb, that are at all of these Selector and Dance Till Dawn events, you know, it's one of them where it's really, really good for the area.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to support local. I'll say it 1,000 times. If there's no local stuff, what is the point in there being the big stuff?
Well, the big stuff don't happen, because where do people learn?
Exactly.
Where do people cut their teeth? And you don't get the big events without these little, without the local stuff happening. Like you said, you listen to House in the Loft once, and then you play on the bill for the first time with the same.
That's it.
Company. And now
it's one of them. It's a cycle.
Yeah, it is.
It's one of them where, like, I know that even in the cities, all that time ago when Jamie Jones of the like started playing out in these little clubs, like, that's the sort of thing that we're talking about here. It's the small, intimate parties that have, like, minimal budgets, really.
Yeah.
Competing against these big brands right now, like Paradise, and you got Defected and all of the rest of them.
Yeah.
They've got these upwards of millions of pounds budgets at these sellout venues that are, you know, like 15,000 people. It's difficult to kind of, like, keep a nice medium of, like, not trying to keep up with them and then trying to keep small.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's one of them where you've just got to support local. It's just something that's got to happen for everything to carry on.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's the whole reason I started Flickies. Like, I want to be able to give a platform to this level. Like,
it's one of them where, like, people don't realise it, but, like, don't know what you've got until it's gone.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, the nightlife in Ketchin before probably this time last year,
yeah,
was gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, until people started doing something about it, like you,
yeah, yeah,
me, Reese.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the day I decided to start Fleckies originally, the actual day,
mm-hmm,
was in the daytime. So when I say started, I mean, me and Botty had a conversation. I was like, I want to do this. So it wasn't out in the world anywhere. It was a conversation. Yeah, yeah. That night was when Loft announced it was closing.
Was it?
Literally, oh my God, the same day.
I remember the day it happened as well. Oh. It was, oh.
And I remember saying to Botty afterwards, I was like, this is why we need to do stuff, because we can't keep losing places, man. It's just...
What a loss.
Yeah.
It was just, that place to me when I was growing up, like, I don't know, I say growing up, it's only going back 3 or 4 years ago.
But it's pivotal in your...
It is pivotal.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, you that sort of stuff stays with you.
Yeah.
Like, going out on a Saturday night,
yep,
and seeing that kind of, like, environment and being in it.
Uh-huh.
Like, it is life-changing, really. Like, it sounds like...
No, I agree.
It's bad to say it, but it is life-changing.
Yeah.
You know? Especially for someone like me, who's so into it and, like, cares about it so much.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I think that community and the connection you get when you go out and you hear music for the first time, or
yeah,
like, it's unbeatable, and it builds things.
Yeah.
So, back to you, though. So, how, as a DJ now, how would you describe your sound and...
God, my sound's always moving, it's always transforming. I'm a bit of a...
Chameleon.
Yeah, it's one of them where, like, I don't know, it's hard to put my finger on. Like, I like so much styles of the music, it's hard to, like, pin a set to one specific type of sound. But, like, moving forward, I think I definitely, over the years of me playing... I've definitely found out what I like more than what I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of them where moving forward, I'm definitely going to play more of what I like and more, not more of what I think people will like.
That's good.
Yeah, but still not sticking to one specific, like, subgenre of house, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah.
So, like, I could chuck in a cheeky little roller in the middle of a set where I'm just playing, like, garagey, drummy, bouncy type beats.
Yeah.
You know? It's one of them where, like, especially now that I'm going to start I've already started getting into the production side of things. I've definitely, like, I've definitely learned what I like more than what I don't. And then, like, it's one of them where you kind of got to stay true and organic.
100%.
Like, you can't go into a set, sure, it works, but you can't go into a set and then play tunes that you don't like, but you know will, like, make people go mad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Also, I think what will happen is, like, it's like with anything. You stay true to yourself and the right people will find you.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Even if, you might play an event and it doesn't work for that event, and you might not get booked for that event, but you will then get booked for an event where it does work and the crowd do love it and the right people will find you.
Yeah.
And I think you're completely right, like... staying true to what you love, and that, like you said, that can change, like,
big time.
And I think that's important. I love so many genres of music. I was actually talking to a guy today who's in a band from Corby, and we were both saying, like, he does a lot of, like, proper band stuff, but he'd love to play live drums for a drum and bass set. And it's like there's so much movement and so much inspiration can come.
Yeah, that's it. It's all about movement, and it's all a learning curve for everyone, I think, because even, like, the big dons like Marco Carolla, I heard him play some pretty wonky, like, bouncy stuff when I seen him last in Pasha a couple of months ago, and, like, it was really, like, a breath of fresh air to not hear him just play, like, the standard Carolla set.
Mm-hmm.
He played, like, tracks that me and my mates were playing our sets, you know.
Yeah.
And it was like, you can hear me in the videos that I got, like, I'm just going mad. It's one of them, like, you've just constantly got to adapt, and it's not like adapting to stay, like, I don't know, relevant or keep getting booked, but it's adapting to, like, keep it fresh for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and staying true to what you are and what you stand for.
100%. I couldn't agree more. So how do you balance, obviously we were talking earlier, you've got a full-time job.
Yeah.
You DJ, you are now producing, which I'll come on to in a bit as well. Obviously, you're pretty social, you have a life. How do you do it?
Well, I'm not going to lie, it's difficult, you know, because, like, having the full-time job, I'm obviously, like, my sort of age as well, we're still going to be in the training phase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, I'm not qualified in my current job yet, but obviously I do aim to be.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, like, it's one of them where you've just got to make it work.
Yeah.
You know, like, at the age that I am now, it's not really a challenge to just make it work.
You have time.
It's one of them where, like, I'm at a point now where I have time for pretty much all of it, and I don't really see it becoming an issue anytime soon, so I've just got to keep at it while I can,
you know,
until, like, life starts getting in the way, so to speak.
I feel like you've got time.
I've got a bit of time, maybe.
So do you feel like you've found, obviously with Reverb and other stuff, do you feel like you've found a bit of a home now, locally?
Yeah, big time. I think Ketchin's always been home for me, and I've always seen it as, like, one of those, it's like an old reliable, you always back home, and, like, it's just so, when it does happen, and, like, you go out on a Friday or a Saturday when these events are on, it just feels so right, and it feels so good. I really like that feeling, and I want it to carry on, not just for me, but for, like, people my age, older, younger, just everyone in the area, you know, you just got to give back.
Yeah.
You know?
So, what's next? We talked earlier, before we started recording, about your producing journey, so...
Yeah, well... I have started the production, and I've really, like, taken a liking to it, you know, like, producers will know that when you go into it, it's one of those things where you can't know everything instantly. I feel like it takes a lot of time to learn all of, like... the different stuff, the techniques, what you like, what you don't like, how to do stuff, how not to do stuff, you know. I'm at a point now where I'm not going to say that I've learned everything, because I don't think you can ever learn everything. No. But I'm at a point where I feel like I've learned enough where I can really start enjoying the sessions that I'm doing, enjoying, like, the results, like, all of the tracks that I've done recently, I've really felt like, yeah, this is good, this is playable, like, I feel like I could play this in one of my sets and no one would bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
Like, if someone said, like, if I play it, I always try to think when I'm producing a track, like, would I go mad at it in the dance? Like, when I'm, if someone else played this track and I didn't know it was me,
yeah,
would I like it?
Yeah.
And I feel like I've gotten pretty good at that recently. Like, the sound I'm sort of laying down at the minute, it's one of them where it's bouncy, it's just nice. I really like nice beats. I'm really into my breakbeat stuff as well at the minute.
Yeah.
For those of know, Luke Dean has been doing a bit of breakbeat stuff recently, and I just love how bouncy it is and how, like, solid it is.
Yeah. How do you go about, I mean, where do you even start?
I always start with my kick.
Yeah.
But no, it's one of them where, like, I take a lot of inspiration. I'm sort of at a point now where I don't feel like I'm creative enough to sort of do my own original stuff, so to speak, like, create a whole different genre right now.
Yeah.
Like, just go out and do that. I take a lot of inspiration from the people around me, like my boy Nathan, shout out to Nathan, he's been really dialing in on the production recently, on the Speedy Garage sort of stuff. Sort of bouncing off of all of my friends, DJs that I know, DJs that I don't know, that I'm, like, going all around the circuit raving, like, listening to these tracks and thinking, yeah, I could make something not similar to this, but, like, of this sort of style.
Yeah.
And, like, I dig it, so hopefully people will dig it.
Yeah. I feel like that goes back to, as well, like, why it's so important to support local. Like,
that's it.
Like you said, like, you're bouncing off your mates that are playing. I mean, Nathan played for us on Friday. Like,
yeah, Nathan played on Friday and he smashed it.
Yeah.
And Wardy played and, yeah, he actually played one of his tracks.
Amazing.
In the middle of his set and, like, it went off.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, he did.
And that's,
yeah,
like, so good, like, and to have that between you all, like, to bounce off each other.
Yeah, that's it.
And I love also how much you all support each other. Like,
yeah, that's it. Yeah,
it's so good.
You've got to support your mates, do you know what I mean? It's one of them where if I didn't have all my boys around me, like Nathan, Wardy, Callum, you know, like Reese, mm-hmm, Sticks, just to name a few, I don't think I'd be where I am today in terms of, like, the amount of sets that I've played in the last year, like, where I am with Reverb and stuff like that. It's all about, like, supporting each other and keeping each other going, mm-hmm, you know, because I feel like it can be pretty easy to get to a dead end and think, oh, what am I doing this for? I'm only doing this because, like, I feel like I have to.
Yeah, yeah.
really, at the end of the day, sometimes it is your boys, like your friends, that are just giving you that little push.
Yeah, yeah. I think that also comes back to that thing of doing what you love. Like, if you're doing what you love, you'll never, hopefully, you'll never get to that point where you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
because it's you actually love it and you're not just playing to what you think people want. So important. So, what's next? What's the plans? What's the big dream for Jono?
Next for me, I want to get a good couple of tracks sent out to some DJs that I like. And hopefully, I mean, I said this to you earlier, I'd be happy to end the year off with, like, not a big play, but, like, I'd be happy with a play by someone like Luke Dean or Lockie or someone like that, you know? I'm not going for the big Marco plays at the minute.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're playing a different sound to what I'm laying down at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I feel like the production's really the next step for me. You know, I've sort of, in the area, I don't want to say that I've, like, done my DJing, but I feel like I'm at a point now where I can lay off of the DJing for a little bit and really focus on the production until that sort of proves good, and then I can come back to the DJing, and the two sort of go hand in hand at that point.
100%. I mean, I don't think you can do everything all at once, and I know you're taking obviously more of an active role in Reverb, and that takes time. It's hard to DJ and run an event.
Yeah, that's it.
So doing that and then producing and DJing, it's all a lot. And I think you're right. I think if you're producing, it will then come back around, and when you start DJing again, you're then playing your own tracks potentially, and it'll move nicely. Yeah. And I think that'll be good.
I thought, well, hopefully it all goes well. Do you know what I mean? It's one of them where, like, Josh Baker himself said it, like, you've just got to keep chipping away at it until it starts to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Trial and fail.
That's it. It's trial and error, you know? Yeah. It's one of them where, like, at some point it will work, I'm confident.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm confident with a few tracks that I've produced recently. Get them back from mastering, and hopefully get a good few plays in the new year by, like, even the local DJs, you know. I'm happy for anyone to hear my tunes.
Yeah.
Let alone, like, big crowds by people like Luke Dean, Lockie, just to name two.
Yeah. So, to wrap up.
Yeah.
If you were to give young DJs any advice, what would it be?
Oh, I don't know. I still kind of class myself as a young DJ.
You are a young DJ, but...
But for someone just starting out, I would say that don't just play the bangers. If I'm being honest, I wouldn't stick to one genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of them where, like, you've kind of got to find out what you like. And, like, you're not going to find out by just playing one genre. Like, you could play, like, garage set, you could play a house set, you could play a drum and bass set, you could play a liquid drum and bass set, and find out that you prefer doing one of them more than the other. And I think it's so important to go with what you want to go with, and then, you know, things will work out from there. I'm confident in that.
Yeah.
And, like, going to a set and just playing, like, pause the bangers, playing all of these bangers just for the crowd to go crazy, like, because they're going off on TikTok and stuff like that. I don't think that's the way forward, definitely. Yeah. I think there's too many people like that at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd say. I'd say don't just stick with the bangers. Still play bangers.
Yeah.
They're bangers.
Yeah.
You know?
But mix it up and stay true.
You've got to switch it up and, like, just stay true to what you like.
Yeah. I think that's solid advice. And I am really excited to see where you go, Jono. Like I said, I've had the honour of watching you play live, and I think you're awesome. So,
thank you.
Yeah, I'm really excited, mate.
Really appreciate it.
Cheers.
Nice one.
That's it for our first episode of Sounds and Stories. Huge thanks to Jono for chatting with me. I really, really enjoyed our chat. It was so much fun. We're just getting started with this podcast, and your support means everything. So if you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, leave a review, and help spread the word. Stay tuned for more incredible conversations, and we'll see you next time.